Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, talking solo here. It's a Tuesday. Now, I'll say this ahead of time, and then I'll remind you towards the end. This is the second college basketball podcast we're doing here on this Tuesday. Hopefully, you get a chance to listen to the other that we did. Seth Meganson joined me. Seth is a regular contributor to AFP, and he did a preseason college basketball NCAA tournament bracketology. It's fodder. It's kind of the barroom argument kind of thing, and it was really well done. And we talked to Seth to kind of break down his picks, and so take a listen. It's about 20 minutes or so, and worth getting into from a national perspective. We talked some ACC there, but a lot of national perspective there. We're going to talk in this podcast about UVA basketball, and we're going to particularly look towards the season opener, UVA basketball opening at Syracuse. You hear the chuckling in my voice. We're starting ACC play with the season opener, and I don't know that anybody likes this in the ACC. 20 game schedule this year, so I was thinking, it hadn't been that long. I guess it has been, but it doesn't seem like it's been that long since we went from 14 to 16. I kind of remember it was maybe in the 90s. 16 to 18, was a jump, and now 18 to 20. 20 ACC games. I mean, I love it. I love ACC basketball. The more the merrier. I wouldn't mind a whole season of ACC basketball. But starting out in November, November 6th, with ACC basketball, UVA opening on the road, defending national champions opening on the road. And, not that there's anybody easy in the ACC, from 1 to 15, anybody can win any night, but opening at Syracuse, if you have to open anywhere, one, you want to open at home, and two, you don't want to play the 2-3 zone, right? So the Virginia basketball opens at Syracuse. That's tomorrow night on ACC Network, which I'm going to be honest. I am a Comcast subscriber, and you might remember if you listen to the podcast enough, around the start of football season, I made a brief switch to another carrier that it didn't work out very well. Nice folks who work there, but the picture wasn't very consistent. Lots of skips and jumps and everything else. We went back to Comcast. The other carrier had ACC Network. This one didn't. Comcast does not. So we've had to actually get on YouTube TV. So now I'm paying two bills a month because the ACC, ESPN, and Comcast can't come together, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sure you know that too. If you want to watch a game tomorrow night, unless you're driving 7 hours, I'm in Central Virginia, so I'm assuming a lot of the listeners are in Virginia. You're driving 7, 8, 9, 10 hours to Syracuse? Don't do that. You can get at least, if you don't have ACC Network, if your carrier doesn't have it, we're still on a free trial. Now, I think our free trial probably ends this week. It's got to end this week because we got it. We picked it back up for Saturday's football game with North Carolina. That was on the ACC Network. I think it's a 7-day free trial. It's either 7 or 5 days. Either way, we're watching a game tomorrow night on the free trial, but I guess we're going to have to sign up for the $49.95 package, which, as far as that goes. But, the game is 9 o'clock, ACC Network, and Virginia-Syracuse. So, and I hope, that there's a game before. I think it's Carolina. Is it Carolina Notre Dame? I think it might be. That starts at 7, and the way these things are going these days, all the commercials they jam in there and all that nonsense, I'm hoping that it's a 9 o'clock broadcast game time start and about a 9:10 or 9:12 or 9:15 actual start. Either way, it'll be a late night here at AFP in a good way. I love basketball, and I love covering games. And in fact, Scott German is heading up to Syracuse. He is getting on the road. Crazy guy. Him and Jerry Ratcliffe are heading up together. JerryRatcliffe.com, our sister website. Jerry, the long time, the hootie. He is the long time voice of reason in Virginia sports. And they're heading up together. They'll be hitting 81. God love them. I don't want to drive 2 miles on 81, much less 7 hours on 81. But they're heading up tomorrow during the day. They'll be up there tomorrow night. We'll talk to Scott tomorrow night after the game from Syracuse. And then, of course, we'll have his post game. You'll have post game from me, some inside the numbers and all that kind of stuff. So it's basketball season, and we're going to start breaking it down. But we're going to talk today about – get you ready for the game. Syracuse – so – Virginia fans, you're going into this game saying, man, we got to play an ACC game on the road at Syracuse. We don't have Ty. We don't have Kyle. We don't have DeAndre. We don't have Jack. We have a whole new team, it feels like. And how fair is this? Well, the Syracuse fans are probably looking at this. Now, one, they're excited. They open with defending national champions. Their tickets are going for gangbusters up there. But they're playing with a pretty much new team, too. They lost three of their top four scorers from last year. Tyus Battle, O'Shea Brissett, Frank Howard. You remember those names. Felt like they were there for 100 years. They do have one of their top four scorers, obviously. If they lost three of four, they kept one. Elijah Hughes, a 6'6 senior. They have him back. And they're going to have some new guys. The most important is probably 6'7 forward Quincy Guerrier. He's being talked about as a possible NBA early entrant. Big physical. When I say big and physical, I mean he's big. He's tight end size, maybe linebacker size at 6'7. He might be a little bigger than Charles Snowden, defensive line linebacker for UVA. Big kid with a lot of talent, and we'll see. It's his first college game, so we'll see what legs he has under him for playing against the pack line. But a lot of hype going into the season for Guerrier. Another guy who will be playing a lot more minutes than he played last year is a 6'3 sophomore, Jalen Carey. Carey will likely be the starting point guard. He played 12.2 minutes a game last year. Jim Boeheim famously doesn't go deep to his bench. He'll go six, maybe seven deep, and that's about it. So Carey got some minutes last year, not a lot, but he's going to be expected to step in and really do a lot this year, stepping in for Tyus Battle. A name you're familiar with, not just because he's the coach's son, Betty Boeheim, 6'5 sophomore. Obvious pedigree. I noted that in my column that I wrote about the game. But he earns his minutes. He's not a coach's son just because he's not playing just because his last name is Boeheim. Averaged 6.8 points a game, 35.3 shooting from behind the arc, a 6'5 wing shooter. Marik Dolezal he's a guy. This guy feels like he's been there for 100 years. One of those guys that feels like he's been around forever. He's just played a lot of minutes. He's a junior, so he's not even a senior. 6'10 junior Marik Dolezal. And he's going to get more minutes. He averaged 21.6 a game last year. I like this kid. Numbers don't kind of spell out what I like about him. He's a big guy who can shoot from outside. He rebounds well. He's a big, skinny kid, but he plays bigger. He plays thicker, I guess, because he's already 6'10", so it's hard to say play bigger. But he plays thicker than what he looks like, and it's kind of a tough-nosed kid. Those are the names you'll hear the most. That's about six names there. Tony Bennett talked about the challenge. We talked last week. We went to the UVA basketball media day. All of us media folks did. Not all of us. I guess there might have been somebody not there. But we talked with Tony about a lot of things, getting ready for the season. But it's particularly starting on the road against Syracuse. And his kind of joking comment as he kind of prefaced everything was, well, we're playing, getting ready for this game. Normally in preseason, you start early October, you play early November for 4 weeks. You're practicing, you're installing your sets, especially with a young team like Tony's got. Four holdovers who've played a lot of minutes, and then basically three or four newcomers who'll be kind of working their way into roles. You'd be installing a lot. You'd be getting guys used to each other. Well, they've had to work on some 2-3 zone offense, and he kind of joked about that. But he noted that we've started on the road before with teams. I remember there was a game at George Mason probably around 2012. JMU was probably 2014, I think, 2013 or 2014. So they've started on the road before, but nothing like Syracuse, to say the least. So starting on the road with a conference game, there's newness to that. There's newness to the team, and a lot of uncertainty. So you don't get a lot of work against the 2-3 when you scrimmage against other teams. Virginia scrimmage, I know, against Georgetown. There was at least one other scrimmage, and I don't remember who that was. But there's not a lot of teams who play like Georgetown. It's kind of like playing a triple option offense in football. You play that once a year generally. They have the advantage. They play it all year round, and you have to change everything you do for that one game. It's very similar. Actually, it's similar on both sides, honestly, playing against the pack line defense that Virginia plays is also quite a challenge for a team because there are other teams who play the pack line, but not the way Tony Bennett does, and there are not a lot of teams who even play the pack line. Just like there are other teams who play 2-3 zones, but certainly not the way Jim Boeheim teaches it and staffs it, with big long guys on the perimeter. So it's not only that they're playing the zone and cutting down on dribble penetration, but when you do kick it out or pass it around for an open three or potentially open three, they're closing out with big guys. Not everybody plays it the way Boeheim plays it. It's similar on both sides. Certainly will be tough for both sides in that respect. We're going to talk a little bit about this Virginia roster. We haven't done a podcast on basketball for a while. To me, there's a tough part to reading this Virginia team is last year, Tony Bennett really managed his lineup so well, and I think the reason he won the national championship was because he played a lot of four guard. I counted the minutes up and figured it all out. 77.1 of the minutes went to guards last year. That means he played four guard that much time. And he was able to do so because he had what I call a pair of aces in a hole. He called them his Swiss Army knives. DeAndre Hunter and Braxton Key. DeAndre 6'7", Braxton 6'8", both who can guard all the way from 1 to 5. They can guard point guards, two guards. They can guard the post. They can guard centers. So anytime you needed to switch, if you had one of those guys on the floor, they could be a stretch four. When you had both of them on the floor, I call this the death lineup. You might remember we kind of borrowed that term last year from the Zach Peerless, and I borrowed that term from the Golden State Warriors death lineup group. You had those two guys on the floor together, Kihei Clark. You could defend anybody. Jack Salt. I mean, it was interesting how and then, you work in Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, depending on who's going in, who's going out. Those two guys, though, gave you the ultimate lineup flexibility. Well, you got one of them left. You got Key left, but you don't have Hunter, obviously. You also, of course, lose Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy. You lose Jack Salt. And so the strength of this team goes from the last few years, even dating back, all the way back to the Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon days. The strength of this team has been in the backcourt. It's been, you've had guys like Joe Harris, Justin Anderson, Malcolm Brogdon. You had Leonard Parentes. You had, then in the recent vintage, the Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Kyle Guy, Troika. And now you've got guys back there who have talent. They're not saying that at all. Kihei Clark played a lot of minutes last year, was a key guy in the NCAA tournament defensively and eventually offensively too. You've got talent in terms of Thomas Woldentensai, the 6'5 JUCO transfer, shot 47% from three-point range last year in JUCO ball. He was a JUCO All-American, averaged 17 points a game. 6'3 freshman Casey Morcell, who came from a very competitive D.C. league, played great in the AAU circuit, 36% shooter from three-point range, 17 points a game. Tough guard. He's going to be a guy. He'll remind you physically and the way he plays, his style, when he eventually kind of gets his feet under him. He'll remind you a bit, just a slight bit smaller Malcolm Brogdon. Cody Statman's one, I think, will get some playing time this year. Cody had a really good run this past year in the FIBA U19 World Cup. Averaged over 10 points a game, shot 47% from the field there. He's 6'7", he's got length, and he's a perimeter guy. And so you'll see some special things out of him, I think. That's the four guys that likely are going to be your backcourt guys, your rotation guys in the backcourt. But as you notice, Kihei Clark is the elder statesman there, and he's just a sophomore. Thomas Woldentensai is actually – he's a junior, but learning his way around this program. Statman got 73 minutes last year in 18 games, all garbage time minutes. And Morcell, for all of his pedigree in terms of his AAU and D.C. Balling back in the last couple of years, it's freshman. He's going to learn. He's going to have some learning curve to be a really consistent performer for this Virginia team. The strength, though, is in the front court. The front court is loaded, and this is the most loaded front court I think I've ever seen with a Tony Bennett Virginia team. You've got Mamadou Diakite. He tested the NBA draft waters before returning. He came back. He looked really good in that Pepsi blue-white scrimmage. He showed some skills offensively that we've seen pieces of. We know he's got a jump shot from three-point range. We know he can dribble drive. We've just not seen a lot of him doing it consistently because he's been a role player the last couple of years. Well, now he's the guy. He's first-team All-ACC preseason. 7'1 center Jay Huff's another guy. Man, we have talked about bits and pieces of a guy. Jay Huff can do it all. At 7'1, he's got a three-point shot. He can dribble drive to the rim. Remember that dunk against Duke down in Durham where he took off one step from three-point line and dunked over a couple guys. He's got skills. And he put 10 pounds on the offseason. He want to be stronger in the post. And you'll slide Key over from guard to forward. He'll play some three. He'll play some four. And then Francisco Cofaro also will play some minutes for this team. He's right now recovering from an injury. He took a deep thigh bruise in practice earlier last month, I should say, back in October. Had a procedure, Tony Bennett said, but he should be getting back in the swing of things pretty soon. I'm not sure if he'll be available certainly tomorrow night, but he'll be available pretty soon, no doubt. And Cafaro also had a good run in the FIBA U19 World Cup, averaging 9 rebounds a game. Rugged guy, compares a lot to Jack Salt as a physical big guy. He's a couple inches taller than Jack. Not quite as thick as Jack yet, but he's around 240, and he's a strong kid. And one difference with him and Jack Salt, I've seen numbers from him. Of course, we didn't see him last year, redshirted at UVA last year, but he can actually shoot the ball. He'll at 7'1", he likes the contact. He'll set screens well, but eventually he'll be a pick and pop guy out of that mover blocker offense, out of those sets at least. So potential down the road for him this year, probably more of a role player kind of guy, maybe give you 8 or 10 minutes a game, spell the bigs. But this team's going to be better when it's big. And we've not seen that from a UVA basketball team, I'm not sure, really ever, at least under Tony Bennett. I don't want to say ever, but the current vintage of UVA basketball, you know, you can imagine, to me, imagining the starting lineup, I'm thinking it's probably Morsell, Wota Tensai, Key in the backcourt, and then Huff and Diakite in the frontcourt. That's a big team. That's Clark at 5'9", but then Morsell at 6'3", big physical 6'3", and then 6'5", Wota Tensai. And then, you got your 6'8", Key playing guard, and then guard and small forward, you know, defending other teams' small forwards, defending their threes primarily, and then 6'9", Diakite, 7'1", Huff. Be a big team, and your better players, your at least early in the season, your most consistent offensive weapons are Diakite and Huff. They're the reliable ones anyway. Key also. I mean, Key's a 30% shooter from three. Maybe if he bumps that up a little bit, he can score in a post as a guard. It'll be interesting. And another interesting thing will be then how the young guys mesh in and play the pack line. You've got a lot of new guys. I mean, Statman was here last year. He's had a year of practice under his belt, but he's got to get the game reps to learn his way around the pack line. Wota Tensai and Morsell, of course, they're new guys. They can learn a lot from Kihei Clark, but then again, Kihei Clark is so quick that he's a different type defender in this pack line defense. So those guys will have to, you know, they'll have some learning curve, and it might not be pretty right at first. But that's part of starting with Syracuse, that can kind of expose things in a way that might be uncomfortable for my fans. You know, I say my fans, my people who are listening, who are UVA fans. Nobody's a fan of me. I'm just some dude who talks. But we're fans together of this UVA program, and I'm going to tell you, we might have some bumps tomorrow night. I'm not, you know, they think the same way. I'm sure if I were doing a Syracuse podcast right now, if I was a Syracuse diehard, I'd be telling you, man, we get the defending national champs here, but we have some guys who have to step up. UVA's got some guys who have to step up. It's going to be a tough environment tomorrow night in the Carrier Dome, no doubt about that. It's got to be. You know, I haven't seen reports on how many people they're expecting, but it's got to be a lot. Defending national champions are coming into your house to start the season. Season openers are fun, and defending national champs coming to your house is fun. When it's all together, it's got to be a lot of fun. So this will be a tough one for Virginia, no question. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know that we're going to get answers tomorrow night about this team. I don't know if we're going to have answers for a few weeks about this team in terms of, you know, how do Wota Tensai, Morsell, Statman, how do they you know, how do they mesh? How do they perform? How do their minutes go? How do Diakite and Huff play together? You know, I've talked about 77.1% of the minutes being four guard minutes last year. Often last year, you had Diakite in the game, or Salt in the game, or Huff in the game. You didn't have two of them together. You certainly didn't have all three together. And so this year, I bet there's going to be a lot more minutes where you do have Diakite and Huff together. What does that mean offensively? I talked to Jay Huff about that. He said, you know, he thinks from all the work that they've done in the spring, summer, and fall, that he and Diakite are going to really work well together playing high-low ball. You know, say a pass to Huff on the perimeter in that ball continuity offense, and then looking for Diakite down low, maybe vice versa. It can be tough for other teams to have to guard both those big guys when they're playing high-low. And, of course, they can see over top of any defense when you're playing traditional teams who play traditional man-to-man anyway. You know, so how do those guys play together well? And when they have that big lineup out there with Diakite, Huff, and Key, and that's, to me, that's the starting lineup, and that's probably your finishing lineup. Those guys are big. You know, how do we play against teams who go small? I mean, obviously, what worked so well for Virginia last year was the ability to go small. You didn't really go small when you went small, if that makes sense. When you went small, four-guard lineup, you still had a 6'7 Hunter, 6'8 Key, along with, say, a 6'9 Diakite or a 6'11 Jack Salt. But because you know, both Key and Hunter can play guard, you know, you were quicker. You know, those guys are quicker. Diakite is probably going to have to be a little bit of a stretch four. I think when he goes to the NBA, which I think he will, his skill set does translate to NBA. He's going to have to be more of a stretch four at that height, at 6'9". He's not going to be a pure post guy in the NBA. So he's going to have to kind of show it this year. So we may need to see him chasing guys around a little bit, and we'll see how he adjusts to that. There's a lot of adjusting to do here, I guess we could say. And tomorrow night's the first look we get at the Hoos, the defending national champion Hoos. I was just thinking about how this time last year, in fact, I'm recording this on Tuesday. It's Election Day in Virginia every Tuesday, and first Tuesday in November, except for November 1st on those years. But every Tuesday in November like this is an election day because Virginia has off-year local elections, local and state elections, and then, of course, we have the federal elections in the even-numbered years. So every year is Election Day in Virginia in November. And so this year, this time last year, literally 52 weeks ago today, I remember because also Augusta Free Press, of course, is a news website as well. We cover local elections. But last year, we actually played on a Tuesday. I can't think who the first game was. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be lazy. But we had a game. Came back home from the game. It was a 7 o'clock tip. Got back around 9:45, maybe 10 o'clock from JPJ. Maybe it's a little later than that. To learn, one, that Duke had just mauled Kentucky. The final score was 118-84, but from the exclamations of people on Twitter, from the way ESPN started its overdrive, that was the start of the Duke hype machine that night. Deservedly so. They beat Kentucky 118-84. Kentucky made the Elite Eight. So did Duke. That's all they made was the Elite Eight. But, you know, that night, all we knew was Virginia was coming off of losing to UMBC. We beat some nondescript team. Duke beat the hell out of Kentucky. It was election night. And here we are a year later. Of course, so this time last year, we had no idea what was to happen. We couldn't have had an idea what was going to happen. It was going to be special, but we didn't know that then. Here we are now, literally 52 weeks later, and Virginia's defending national champions. And that's going to be the case until whatever happens, March, April, whatever. We're defending national champions. That's fun to say. It's fun to say. It's fun. I'm going to work that into every story I write about Virginia basketball through, let's just say April. Let's just say April of this year. So anyway, that's our first season podcast of the 2019-2020 UVA basketball season. Of course, like I said, we'll talk with Scott German tomorrow night. He'll be joining us from Syracuse, from the Carrier Dome post game, and we'll talk with him and get his impressions of the game, the environment, whatever else comes to mind. Hopefully it's a win. We'll see how that goes as well. And there's a lot of post-game coverage coming. Also, I know a lot of you guys are UVA guys and gals are UVA fans, UVA fans across the board. We will have more pre-game Virginia Georgia Tech football coverage. I've got a few stories already up on the site previewing. excuse me, I've had a cold the last few days. Previewing the Virginia Georgia Tech game. We'll have a few more coming as the next couple of days roll out. So this is a fun time of year. There's football. There's basketball. It's a lot of fun. Defending national champions. Did I say that already in this podcast? Defending national champions. Anyway, I can't say it enough, and you probably can't hear it enough. Want to thank you for listening, and let's get back together tomorrow night. In the meantime, wahoo wah.